So give us an idea of how hard it is for returning troops to actually find work in this economy.
Well, you've got a couple of factors that they're facing. One is that the economy itself is weak, and so they are competing with other young men and women who are also looking for work. But probably the biggest factor in my mind is that, as different from when I got out of the service in 1970, when most of the people that were running companies or were in charge of hiring had military experience. They were veterans. They knew what veterans could do. Today, that's certainly not the case. So what we have to do is we have to come up with programs that give them the information, the resources that they need to prepare them for a job that's meaningful in the next phase of their life once they transition.
So how do these virtual seminars work?
Well, basically, we have had them, I guess, since started about six months ago. We've had about 3,000 registered users of the system, of the seminars. And basically, for about an hour, we have experts that explain issues that are of interest to people looking for jobs, like building a better resume, landing a federal job, acing the interview. And what that does is it gives them a hands-on tool that goes and connects with our Career Decision Toolkit, which is also an online service that provides similar information. So they get the information on the Career Decision Toolkit, and then they can actually talk and ask questions of an expert to get more information, specific information of what's important to them.
And these online resources, they can be accessed from anywhere?
From anywhere. I mean, we've got individuals who are in forward operating bases in Afghanistan, bases in Germany. We've even got people logging on from Diego Garcia, on a remote island probably as far away from here as you can imagine. So it's available to anybody, and it's open to families and supporters of the military.
So tell me about some of the response and some of the results from this program.
Well, one of the things that we're really coming to grips with is that in the past we really have done a very good job of doing metrics, capturing data that really indicates just how well we're doing. And so this is a program where we have some follow-up. We go back out to those that have signed on and registered and gotten their feedback. And generally, the feedback's been extremely positive. I think you have to really put this TAP program into perspective. Up until a couple of years ago, it was nothing more than a brick and mortar event that occurred in the last 90 days of someone's service, whether it be 2 years or 20 years. Young men and women today who have just incredible experience coming out of the military are used to going to a virtual place. The web, the internet is really where they want to get their information and resources. So we've had to move that from just a brick and mortar experience to something that's virtual. And I, my job before this was I created a social network that was supporting military and their families. So I have a clear and deep understanding of just how important it is to have this modality offering to them.
We're speaking with John Campbell, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Wounded Warrior Care and Transition Policy. And what about links to some of the large hiring concerns? I mean, where and what industries are returning troops, soldiers, airmen, and Marines, finding work? I mean, what industries seem to be hopeful?
Well, that's probably more the purview of the Department of Labor. Our job is to prepare them, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to map those industries that are looking for labor and getting our young men and women into courses that will really connect with what's required. So it's an ongoing process, and we're just really starting to develop that.
And making that move from the brick and mortar to the virtual, did you find that that was terribly hard to do? Was it costly? And was there a culture shock involved? Or is this really just what they expect?
Well, you know, I think there's probably a grouping of individuals that are probably, you know, have been in the service for 20, 30 years, that it probably is a little more difficult to make that adjustment. We still offer it in brick and mortar, so you can get the information if you want to sit in the classroom and get the information from instructors. So we're really offering it in two different ways. One is virtually, and then also in the brick and mortar. But I don't think there's not much of a culture shock for these young men and women who are clearly really adaptive to this kind of technology.
And having been in Iraq or Afghanistan, what do you think they bring in terms of special skills that the average cat applying for a job would not have?
You know, this is one of the great frustrations of being in this job and recognizing just how valuable, you know, what the skills veterans bring. If we take war fighting aside, because it's awful difficult to overlay that in a civilian environment, we can talk about the fact that these individuals are responsible for large civil projects. They negotiate with the local imam. They're community activists. They really have an incredible level of skills that, to be honest, goes far beyond what I had coming out of Vietnam. I mean, they're really incredible young men and women, the best this country's got. And I really view their insertion in our communities and our economy as really being a national security issue. I mean, we compete against China, we'll compete against India, the European Union, and as a businessman, I see that we're not as competitive as we used to be, and so we've got to use every asset we've got, and these young men and women are the best assets we've got, so we've got to really do a better job of educating employers as to the skill sets and the leadership abilities that these young men and women have.
I have to say, in talking with you, you bring a new passion and some new solutions to a problem that is really quite old. Why has this been a problem for so long?
You know, I can't answer that. All I know is what we're doing now, and we're really dedicating ourselves to make sure that we have the resources, we have the information that's available to them in ways that they're most familiar at receiving that kind of resource and information, so that they're the best prepared they can possibly be. You know, this also answers, you know, the web also answers the issue of making sure the Guard and Reserve, which have not been as lucky so far in getting information. We haven't really in the past looked at the Guard and Reserve in a way that we really need to make sure that we have got the information that they required.
I wanted to follow up on what you had said earlier about the Labor Department really being the locus of expertise for where the jobs are. Do you have formal or informal ties into labor to help Defense Department steer people in the right direction at all?
Oh, we certainly do. You know, there are a number of projects that we work on, not the least of which right now is the President's new initiative on jobs for veterans, working with the VA, Veterans Administration, and labor to ensure that we're coming up with programs that really matter and really will make a difference. So the President's been very specific about exactly what he's looking for. He wants something clearly by Veterans Day, and we're working very hard to achieve that goal for him.
John
and
Campbell.
For the country.
John Campbell is Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Wounded Warrior Care and Transition Policy.